Here we are, another online Sunday, as you're listening to a pre-recorded message that I recorded while sitting in a very empty room with very empty pews, looking into the eye of this camera, peering into your living room as you're... What? You're in your jammies? You came to church in your jammies? And what is that? What? Oh, of course, it's coffee in the mug there that you're sipping on, and then you've got a little something, right? No, not this side. Oh, what is that? Donut glaze? You had a donut already this morning? Okay, well, that's fair enough. So, but just, it's right here. You just smeared it. It's okay. It's not going to bother me. But that hair. Woo! Crazy hair. And that's, I mean, you didn't do anything with that this morning. But that's okay, because we're all going to have crazy hair in a few weeks, because we can't go anywhere to get our hair taken care of now. All that's been shut down. And so we're just going to be a society of crazy hair. And this is just the way it's going to be. This is what we're facing. This is what we're living through. And this is just, we are living in unprecedented times. We are navigating uncharted waters together, and we are going to get through this. We're going to weather this, and we're going to do so together. And this is the format that we're going to be using for a little bit. We had a leadership meeting this past week, and we talked about a number of things. An email went out to show you some of the things that we talked about. And just in case you didn't get the email, I'm going to have that same list on the front page of our website along with this message. And so you can go and you can look at that. But one of the things, one of the big parts of our topic, was how long are we going to be doing online services and not meeting together physically? And so we had decided definitely through the month of March. So today, obviously today, and March 29th, next Sunday. And then we will be in communication and talking about April as things continue. It seems that every day there's something, a new development. And as it looks right now, I don't see that the quarantine is going to loosen as we near April. It looks like it's going to tighten down even more. And so this is where we're at, and this is our reality. I mean, it just feels so surreal. It feels like we've stepped into some Hollywood movie or something. Something just out of, you know, the realm of fiction. But this is our reality. This is real, and this is life for us, and none of us have ever lived through this before. And so these are uncertain times. We talked about that last Sunday, and if you missed that message is still available online. And today, with this understanding that we're not meeting together physically again, we're not meeting together physically again next week. There's a pretty good chance that this is the way it's going to continue. I wanted to give you a message of encouragement based around that subject. And I want to start by giving an encouragement to you as the church, not just Miami Town Church of Christ, but capital C, the church at large, that we have a very unique opportunity right now to love our neighbor. That's what Jesus told us to do, to love our neighbor by staying at home. Simply staying at home. Please take that seriously. We need to understand the severity of the situation we're in. This is a global pandemic. This is global. This is a common enemy for all of humanity right now. And so we can love other people. We can do what Jesus told us to do. We can love our neighbor by not being around our neighbor. When in history have you ever been able to say that? But we can do that. We have the unique opportunity to do that, church. We have the unique opportunity as the church to show the world what model citizens look like by submitting to the government authority, that God has put the government authority in charge for the reason that they're in charge, that they are caring for us, and that we are going to socially distance ourselves because we are submitting to the governing authorities, that they are looking out for our health, they're looking out, that they're wanting to save lives. And so let me encourage you that in doing these things, we are doing two things that are just grassroots, simple, just the basic biblical principles. Loving your neighbor and submitting to the governing authorities. Two solid, basic, biblical principles. And I believe that a lot of us are struggling with this right now, and that's why I wanted to encourage you on this topic today. Because I think it's more than just a weird feeling. I think it's more than just this feeling of isolation. And I mean, it's weird. This is all different. No one's ever experienced this before, but now we've got this isolation element on top of that. And for an introvert, you know, we don't mind the isolation so much, but the extroverts out there are going nuts. I've got some extroverted friends. My wife is going crazy with this. She's like, I can't handle this isolation thing. And so I think it even goes beyond that for us as members of God's church, of members of the body of Christ, the church, because we know that we need to be together. And so this feels wrong to not be together physically. And I believe that what we're experiencing as a church at large is that I believe that there are many who have like this shadow of guilt weighing down on them because we're not meeting together physically. We've heard it taught that we should meet together regularly, that there is value in being together habitually. I mean, isn't that in the Bible somewhere? I mean, doesn't the Bible tell us that we should meet together frequently? Doesn't it say that? I mean, doesn't this go against the Bible to be separate from each other on a Sunday? And didn't our pastor a few weeks ago tell us that the definition of the word church, the Greek word for church, that definition is an assembly or community of people gathering for a particular purpose? Yes, that's the definition of the church, and that's what I shared with you just a few weeks ago. Wasn't meeting together a big part of the church as the church began in the first century? The church that's exemplified for us in the Bible, wasn't meeting together a big part of what they did? And so all of those things are questions, and we're battling between this. We're saying, you know what? Yes, it's good to love our neighbor and care for our neighbor, and to do so means staying home right now. It's good to submit to our governing authorities because that's biblical. But then on the other side, we've got these other verses and these other truths in the Bible that say that we should be together. How do we work with this? How do we juggle all of this? And that's what I want to approach today. So as we approach that topic, I want to go to a popular passage, a passage I shared just a few weeks ago, but it was pertinent to today's message. And that is to take a look at this passage that is a quick glimpse at what a worship service looked like as the early church gathered together, what some of the elements of a worship service were for the church in the first century. And we find this in Acts chapter 2, a very popular passage. A lot of you are probably very familiar with this. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 42, it reads, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, there it is again, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Now that is a quick snapshot of what a first century worship service looked like. Some of the elements there, and laced all through that was being together. And so what I want to do in kind of understanding this, I want to divide and conquer. When we look at this passage and other passages like it that talk about elements of a worship service, there are really two categories here. We have parts or elements of a worship service that are geared towards honoring God by worshiping Him. So we have elements of worship service that help us to honor God by worshiping him. And then we have elements of a worship service that really are there to benefit us as the church. They are beneficial to us as the church. We get the benefit from these other parts here. So I want to first look at these parts over here. The parts of a worship service, the elements of a worship service where we honor God through worshiping him. And let me tell you up front, every one of these elements are things that you can do while you're quarantined at home. There are things you can do if you're quarantined alone, you can do them alone. If you're quarantined with your family, you can do them with your family. Whatever your quarantine status is, you can do every one of these elements. So some of the elements listed here in Acts chapter 2, some of the elements that we experience regularly as we meet together, when we get a chance to meet together physically, one of the things that we do that was mentioned in Acts chapter 2 is prayer. When we come together, we gather together and we pray together as a corporate worship. We pray together, and that's part of our worship. We worship God by communicating to him, with him. And listen, if communicating to God is limited to a worship service for you, I need to be the bearer of truth this morning and let you know you're doing it wrong. Jesus came, he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, he opened the door for us to have a relationship with God, and a relationship with God involves communication. And praying to God is not canceled because physically meeting together is canceled. Please understand that. I hope you do. We need to pray all the time, and especially here as we are having home church services with our quarantined people that we're home with, our family, or if we're home alone, or if you're there with roommates, whatever your situation is, we should be able to pray together and worship God by using that element of worship that was in existence in the first century church and is in existence 2,000 years later in the current church. Another element of worship that we see as we gather together, when we physically gather together, is we worship through song. We lift up songs of praise and we worship God through songs. And you know what? While we're not meeting together physically here, I know you're going to miss the house band. And we love the feeling, the genuine worship that we have here together. It's wonderful to hear each other singing and just the synergy that happens there, that group feeling. But really, that's this part. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. This part, to worship God, to honor God by worshiping him through song, is not dependent on meeting together. It's not dependent on the house band. We have all sorts of different avenues, different ways that you can look in this. We have, YouTube. You can find about any worship song that you would want. If you want to worship, if you want to go all the way back and grab the old rugged cross, or you can go all the way to the most recent, fresh off the press released worship song from the most cutting edge worship band. Anywhere in between, you can find it on YouTube. You can find it when we were in Egypt. They had YouTube videos that they were using to lead their worship with, in their language. So you can find it in all sorts of languages. So that's available. You can go and you can buy the MP3, various different ways you can buy digital music, and you can find worship songs that you're looking for, buy them, and then you own them. Some of you probably have worship CDs laying around that you can put a worship CD in, and you can use that to guide and to lead your worship so that you can worship in your house, your quarantine worship service that you have this morning. Don't let this morning just be a video that you sit down in your jammies and drinking your coffee with donut glaze on your face and crazy hair. Don't let this be the only element. Let's dive into a full worship service together with those that you're quarantined with together. And you can sing together with them. And maybe you've got maybe you have a musician and an instrument. Maybe you have a guitarist that has a guitar. Maybe you have a piano and you've got someone that can play the piano. And you can worship that way. Or maybe you just give it your most heartfelt, a cappella, all out of tune. I mean, just all over the place, just notes, just inventing notes. You're inventing notes that Beethoven didn't even know existed. And if that weren't strong enough, you know, we can turn it up a little bit for my musician nerd friends out there. You're inventing notes that even Debussy didn't know existed. That's craziness right there. So, but the point is, you can worship. You're not limited to missing out on a physical service where we're gathered together. You can still worship God through song, and we've got all sorts of different tools where we can make that happen. Another thing that we see when we come together and we worship together is we worship together and we remember Jesus through communion. And that's an important part of our worship service together. Let me throw something out there for you. As you're out in the stores and you're hunting for the necessities, you know, the water and the bread and the eggs and the toilet paper, let me add another couple of items to your list. Let's prepare. Let's think about this. This is what we're doing for this week, next week, probably for weeks to come. We don't know how long this is going to be. Let me put two items on your list. Just a small little, you know, bottle of Welch's grape juice and some just plain Jane crackers, just some very simple plain crackers, and set those aside and reserve those for your home communion time. And plan to have a time of worship together in communion together. And guys, let me throw a challenge out there to you. Guys, we are biblically mandated to be the spiritual leaders of our family. We are to lead our family spiritually. If you're anything like me, you're trying to stay two or three steps ahead of things. You're trying to make sure that your family stays safe. You're trying to make sure that your family stays provided for. And not just physically provided for, but emotionally provided for. That you're strong there for them emotionally to help them through this crazy time and time of uncertainty and time of fear. That you're there to bring stability. But it's not just providing emotionally, or not just providing physically, not just providing emotionally, but guys, we need to provide spiritually as well. And here's a place where you can do this. You can take it upon yourself. Don't put it on your wife's grocery list. You go out and you get some Welch's grape juice. You get some crackers, or you can even turn it up a notch there. You can get some wine. It's what they had at the Last Supper. You can get some unleavened bread. You can do some research on that and find some bread that would be closest to what they did or what they shared at the Last Supper. And you get that, you be the man, and you get that and you bring that home and you prepare for communion. And you either, you can find a scripture, you can say a prayer, or what we've provided for you. Our student minister, David Herbert, has put together a communion meditation, a communion devotional thought that's available on our website. So on our website where this video is, if you're watching this video from some other source, then you go to miamitowncc.com, and at the time that this video is posted, wherever this video ends up being, right now it's going to be on the front page, but wherever it moves, this will move with it also. And we have a link there to this communion devotion that David has prepared so that you have a tool to be the man of your family, that you can be the man of your household, the spiritual leader of your family. And we're giving that, we're empowering that to you so that you can lead your family in this time of worship in communion. You know, another worship element that we experience here together, and this is near and dear here. This is very personal, and if you're part of Miami Town, then you understand. If you're part of another church, I hope that it's the same thing for you. For us, offering is worship. To bring our tithe back to God, to give an offering above and beyond, to us, that is a beautiful form of worship. And it's something that we as a church, that's part of our personality here, that we worship through giving. And it's really a beautiful thing here. And when we're separate from meeting together physically and having the offering plate passed, then sometimes, you know, that can very easily feel like we're missing out on that element of our worship service. You know, there are a lot of churches, if you're listening to this message and you belong to another church, there are a lot of churches out there that have online giving. We don't have online giving yet. However, every church has a mailing address. Every church has a mailing address. So let me challenge you, if you're a member of another church and you're listening to this from some other place, then I want to challenge you to give to your local church. You're giving to God, but we give to God through the local church. And if you're part of our family here, then let me encourage you. Make this a part of your at-home quarantined worship service and make it a part of the whole family. You know, you can say a prayer and asking God to bless the tithe that you're bringing back to him, the gift, the offering that you're giving to him above and beyond, that he would bless that for the expansion of his kingdom, to go and reach into someone's life and make a difference, to serve someone, to help someone during this time of crisis. And or maybe you approach this time of your home worship service with a verse about generosity, or maybe there's a song about giving to God or giving of yourself or a cheerful heart, as we give with a cheerful heart to remind us of the attitude that goes behind that. And then take out your checkbook there with your family in a very intimate setting and be the example for your children. Show them that this is worship. That this is worship to bring the tithe, to give the offering. And you write the check right there in front of them, and you sign it, and you put it in an envelope, and you put a stamp on it, and you send it out on Monday. And that's part of our worship service that we join in when we're here together physically. And we can still do that as we worship in our quarantine home bases. If you're quarantined at home alone, or if you're quarantined with your family, we can still do that. In a worship service, we are exposed to biblical teaching and instruction. And I tell you what, right now, this is a pretty amazing thing, because this coronavirus outbreak, this pandemic that we are facing, has done something really, really interesting. And just in the blink of an eye, just like overnight, pastors across America, nay, pastors around the world, have become TV evangelists. There are pastors all over the place doing exactly what I'm doing right now. Either they're recording a message by looking into a little camera lens, or they're online streaming looking into a camera lens. And I tell you what, if I were a betting man, I would wager that this pandemic has caused an increased amount of solid biblical messages that are available online. And that's amazing. I know for myself, I know other pastors are making sure that this is available online. And so you've got your hometown pastor, you've got your pastor that you know and you trust, and you know they're going to be bringing biblical wisdom and biblical truth from God's word. There are other pastors out there that are coming from God's word, and it's biblical truth. It is out there. And so that part of our worship service does not need to be neglected either. In a worship service, there's an element of evangelism. When we read Acts chapter 2, it said the Lord was adding to their number daily. And even though we see that as an element of our worship service together, sometimes a sermon will be a little evangelical. It'll lean that way. A lot of services have an invitation song at the end of the service. Really, quarantine or no quarantine, The responsibility of evangelism falls on the believers, on every one of the believers. That we are told in the Bible that as we go, we are to make disciples. And so let me encourage you. Let me throw out another challenge here. That that this would be a great time. See, at Miami Town Church of Christ, our mission statement is growing in God, investing in people. And over the past few years, we've been talking a bunch about that. We have had saturation after saturation about these two parts of our mission statement, growing in God, investing in people, creating relationships, building relationships, investing into people's lives. And I know Miami Town Church of Christ, you guys have been developing relationships with people for the purpose of investing into their life, to be able to share the kingdom with them, to be able to share the grace of Jesus with them. Let this be something that can move you over the hump, something that can move you over what would normally be a pretty difficult jump to make sometimes. Let this be the moment that can help you to take where you have been investing in this person to move into this moment of evangelism, of making disciples. And I want you to call this person up. I want you to connect with this person and say, you know what, these are crazy times right now. And I know it's crazy. I wanted to ask you if I could pray for you. Is there something specifically that you need me to pray for? Or maybe you're in need. Our church likes to help people out when there's a real need. And so maybe there's something there, and you can ask them, and they might give you some feedback, and that might open the door for more of a bridge there, to be able to talk more into their life, and to be able to invest more into them, in something that is growing into more of a making of a disciple type scenario. Let me throw this out there. You can let them know, hey, I know it's crazy times right now. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of unknown out there. There's a lot of things that people are worried about. My pastor uploaded a message last week that was all about, you know, strength and peace and hope. This week, he uploaded a message about encouragement and about encouraging people and being encouragement. And why don't you go? Here's the web address, miamitowncc.com. Go and listen to it, and don't leave the ball in their court. You take responsibility. Let them know, I'm going to call you back in a few days after you've had a chance to listen to it, and I want to hear what you think. I want to hear what you think about what you learned from God's Word, and if you have any questions, then maybe we can look through God's Word together, and I can help you find some answers if you have some questions. Let this be what takes you into that next level, that next step, and bless God, worship God through honoring Him through worship, by sharing the gospel of His Son Jesus, by taking that out, by fulfilling the Great Commission. And let this be something of a motivation that can help you to move into that next level of investing in other people. So these parts of a worship service, the elements of a worship service that help us to honor God together as we gather together, to honor God through worshiping Him. Every one of these elements can take place while you're quarantined. If you're quarantined alone, if you're quarantined with your family, every one of these elements can happen and they should be happening. So let me encourage you to do that. Now let's go over here. We have this second category of elements of a worship service that are really more of a benefit to us, that these elements of a worship service are there to benefit us as the church, to the fellowship, being together, enjoying each other's favor, helping each other, encouraging each other. All of those things are there for our benefit, and that's why the Bible says that it's very important that we do meet together, that we get together, that we gather together physically on a regular basis, that it's habitual. And when I said, you know, earlier, doesn't the Bible say somewhere, you know, and you're thinking, yeah, it does. Well, right here, I'm going to share the verse with you, the verse that you were probably thinking of, maybe didn't remember exactly where it was, but you're like, yeah, the Bible says it somewhere. And I remember it saying something about not giving up the habit or not, you know, that you should meet together regularly. Well, let me read that to you. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It reads, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing," right there's where it is, "but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." So we are the ones that benefit from meeting together on a regular basis. But we must be careful. We must be careful that we don't turn something that was made for a benefit for us into a mandate that brings about this guilt and this frustration and this feeling like we're doing something wrong while we're trying to do something right. You see where I'm coming from there? That it really, what we're doing there is we're starting to model ourselves after the Pharisees in Jesus' time, where they had the Sabbath day, and they were taking the Sabbath day, and they were turning it into this ritualistic behavior, this ritualistic mandate from God. There's a story of when Jesus' disciples were walking along, and they were picking heads of grain to eat. And they were doing so on the Sabbath day. And so the Pharisees launched an accusation at Jesus that his disciples were doing what was unlawful to do on the Sabbath. And as Jesus replies and shares with them, he ends his reply with this statement. He says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." So this part of our worship service, gathering together physically, this part was really made more for us. We can do all of this part when we're alone. In fact, when you talk to somebody that doesn't attend church regularly, and they say, "Well, you know what? I can be a Christian without going to church. I can pray to God without going to church. I can worship God without going to church. I can do all of these different things without going to church." And sometimes you're just dumbfounded when you have that thrown back at you, and you're like, "You know, yeah, I guess you can. But my preacher says it's really important to go to church." That doesn't cut it. We need to understand this is very important as well. This benefits us. So when we're sharing with people like that, yes, you absolutely can, but you're missing out on a huge benefit of being together, of fellowshipping together, of encouraging each other, of supporting each other, of the accountability of being there with each other. And that part, that was made for us. And so regularly gathering together, habitually gathering together, it helps us to stay strong, seeing each other, being around each other. And yes, I'm sure that God is honored. I'm sure he enjoys seeing us together, worshiping together, being in unity together, being of one heart, one mind. I know that blesses the Lord. I know that he enjoys that. But really, this is a benefit to us. So let me caution all of us at this time. I don't want us to have this big feeling of guilt and the shadow of guilt weighing on us because we're not meeting together. Maybe we're frustrated with the virus or frustrated with the government or maybe even frustrated with the church making the decision to cancel physical services. Let me help us to remove that guilt and just understanding that we don't want to be like the Pharisees here, that the Sabbath was made for man. And so we take that same explanation that Jesus gave to the Pharisees and we look at this benefit of a worship service. This was made for us. It's not a mandate to feel guilty over. It's a benefit of going to church. Yes, it's important. Yes, it's healthy. Yes, it's great for us to be together. Yes, it's what the first church did. It was the practice of the first church. But in a time like this, when it really is best, when it really is the best way to love our neighbor, when we are doing the biblical duty of respecting those in authority, of submitting to the government authorities that God has placed above us, then to take a moment to pause from this for a little while doesn't bring dishonor to God. It's the benefit from this is for us. The advantage of being together, the fellowship, enjoying each other's favor, helping one another, encouraging each other, that's for us. So let me reread this passage. And I want you to see how habitually gathering together is surrounded by this idea of encouraging each other. So Hebrews 10, 24, verse 20, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." That's encouraging. Spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." So that's kind of the venue. That's where this happens most easily, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. by meeting together, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And so we see here that this the focus here is encouraging each other, spurring one another on towards love and good deeds, and encouraging one another. And the venue this happens most naturally and easiest in is when we are physically together, when we are meeting together physically. Now let me bring in a little bit of a teaching here. The phrase here in the middle, the word used there for giving up, it's a very strong word. And it carries with it this understanding that it is an attitude of abandonment. In fact, to exemplify for you, to give you an example of the strength of this word is the same word that Jesus uses from the cross when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? So with that understanding, let me ask you this. Just because we are choosing not to meet physically for a time, just a time, not a habit, not a new pattern, but for a time, due to a global pandemic, that we are choosing to do this to love our neighbor, to submit to the governing authorities, does that mean that we are forsaking each other? Does that mean that we are abandoning each other? I sure hope not. During this time, when we're choosing to do this, when we're choosing to love our neighbor, when we're choosing to submit to our governing authorities, it's going to take more effort while we're socially distancing, while we're staying at home. It's not going to be as easy to encourage each other as it is when we're gathering together physically on a weekly basis. It's going to take more effort. It's going to take more work. But it can happen. We can still honor this passage and the encouragement and what gathering together does. We can still get this benefit of a worship service with just a little more effort, a little more work on our part. We can still fulfill the objective of Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25. And that's, it's healthy for us to do this. We need to do this. We can encourage each other in this quarantine. Back in the early church, they didn't have the tools that we have. We have cell phones. We have social media. We have the internet. We have all sorts of tools that are at our disposal that we can take the main gist of this passage and we can still make this happen. We don't need to abandon each other. Physically not meeting together doesn't mean that we have to abandon each other. But rather, we need to encourage each other all the more as we see the end of days approaching. Call your church family. Encourage them. Ask them how they're doing. Send them a text. Ask if there's anything they need help with. You know, we've got some older people in our church. They don't need to be out in public. Okay, you can ask, hey, can I run to the store for you? Is there anything that you need? And you make sure that you're washing your hands and you take every precaution possible to keep them safe. But it's going to be safer for one person who cares to bring them groceries or make a stop by the grocery store than for them to go to a grocery store where there's a bunch of other people. So we can reach out and we can do that. We can call each other and we can say, hey, can I pray for you today? And we need to do this to connect. Because it's not as easy to have this, to meet the objective of this verse, not meeting together, but we can do it. And it's just going to take a little extra effort to do this. And it's extra effort to put the time into it, but it's not too difficult to encourage one another. Let me give you an example of how easy it is to encourage each other. I was really sick this past few weeks. Last Sunday was right smack dab in the middle of me dealing with whatever it was that I was dealing with. I was weak, just totally fatigued. I was sleeping. I was in bed like all the time. I developed a cough, a small cough eventually. But I didn't have a lot of sinus issues. I didn't have any, you know, stomach stuff going on. I was just fatigued. I was just exhausted. And it kept going for days and days and days. I'd get up, I'd wake up, I'd do a few things, and I'd have to lay back down. I'd get up and I'd eat breakfast and I'd say, okay, I need to get a shower, but I need to take a nap before I get in the shower. And Monday of this past week, I got up and I tried to do some things, and then I was like, I need to get in the shower, but I need to take a nap first. I woke up like 4:30, 5 o'clock p.m., and I wasn't up but for a couple of hours at the most that morning. Tuesday, same story. Slept. I got out of bed at 7 o'clock p.m. I was just wiped out. And my wife works in the medical field. She works in the office, but it's still an office where people see at-risk people. And she said, I need to know what you don't have so that I'm not taking anything to work, so I know that I'm safe. So I called my doctor, and I said, here's what's going on. And they said, well, we're not seeing anybody with a cough. So I was like, your doctor's office. You know, they said, we're not seeing anybody with a cough. Let me give you this nurse hotline thing, and you need to call this nurse, and they're going to help you over the phone. I can transfer you there. So I'm laying there in bed, and they transfer me to this other nurse. This nurse goes through a bunch of detailed questions. She's asking all sorts of things, and this and that, and temperature, and I never had a fever. I didn't have a temperature. And then she gets to the question, have you been out of the country lately? And I said, as a matter of fact, I have. And she said, oh, where? And I said, well, I went to Egypt. She said, did you go straight to Egypt? I said, well, I went to JFK. And then I went to Rome, Italy. And we had a layover there. And then we went to Cairo. And then when we left Cairo, we came back through Paris, France, another hot spot. And then we went to Boston and then back down to Cincinnati. And she said, you were in Italy and you were in France, and you were outside the airplane both times. I need to send you to the next level up. And so I was like, oh boy, here we go. So, and she was super nice, super, super nice. And she sent me to this next nurse, and the next nurse was also super, super nice. She was a triage nurse. So now we're getting into like serious level stuff. And she was very detailed in her questioning and just asked all sorts of things. About this and about that, and she got to the end of all of her questioning, and she said, "I'm confident that you do not have the coronavirus. There's no need for you to get tested. You're missing numerous symptoms for that." She said, "I'm even confident that you don't have the flu. I think you're just having a really bad bout with the cold, and it's typically about a 7-day." You know, bout. It could last as long as 10. She said, you're right about the 7-day time now. So if by the end of the week you're not feeling better then or feeling stronger, you know, I want you to go on and call us back. And so I was like, okay. And I started getting to feeling better in the next day or so after that. So my oldest son, I've got two sons, Judah and Isaiah. Judah's 12, Isaiah's 13. And my oldest son, Isaiah, one of the days when I was downstairs for my normal morning part of the day, he said, you look like you're feeling better. He said, your forehead's not pushing your eyebrows down today. So I looked awful and I felt awful and it was apparent. After I had this conversation with that nurse, and I sat down with both boys, I called them together on the couch, and this pandemic's going on, and they're seeing, you know, hearing reports about people dying of the coronavirus, and while they're seeing these reports, their dad's laying in bed, you know, around the clock, I'm laying up there, and I'm calling down to them, hey, did you get breakfast? Yeah, and then I'm waking up hours later, hey, did you eat lunch? Yeah, did you take the dog out? No, we'll take the dog out. Thanks, did you feed the cats? You know, and all that's coming from upstairs in the bedroom, and they're downstairs, and this coronavirus is going, you know, and so I know their minds are thinking, you know, golly, what's dad going through? So I wanted to share with them, hey guys, I wanted to reassure you that I talked to a nurse. I talked to three nurses. I got to kind of this high-level nurse because I have been out of the country, And she is confident, I do not have the coronavirus. I don't even have the flu. I've just got the cold. And so in that conversation, my youngest, who's 12, he ran upstairs and he got his Bible. And he said, Dad, I was reading the other day in the book of Job. And he said, this guy had all this terrible stuff happen to him. And listen to what it said, or listen to what he said about it. And then he turned to a bookmarked page in his Bible, to Job chapter 2 in verse 10. And he said, here's what Job said about it. He said, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And I was like, holy cow, not only is he reading the Bible, he's bookmarking passages that are comforting to him, and he's recalling them and using them at appropriate times. I was blown away. And then he turned to another bookmarked page in Matthew chapter 6, and he reads this. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I was so encouraged that here my son is turning to these passages in the Bible. Who knows how many other passages he's got bookmarked that are personal sources of security for him and encouragement to him. I was encouraged. And this is, I share this story because it can be so simple. You can encourage someone else simply by sharing your God stories with them. Sharing a story about how God has taken care of you, about something you've read in Scripture, about how God has come through for you. And that alone can be an encouragement to other people. You can encourage others. You can be that, and you can do that. So real quick, let me give you, let's recap, quick takeaway, since we don't have bullet notes to take down here. 1, 2, 3, boom, boom, boom. Recap today. 1, do not feel unnecessarily guilty because you're not physically at church. We are doing the right thing. Sure, we miss each other. I miss you guys. We've got a great church. We've got great things going on here. It's a great feeling to come in here on a Sunday morning and be together. But listen, we are doing the right thing. We are doing a good thing. So don't feel guilty about what we're doing here. Don't feel guilty by not meeting together physically for a time to do what's best for our nation, to try and keep people healthy and to care for people and to keep people alive. So don't feel guilty. Know that you're doing the right thing and that your church leaders are doing their best to navigate these uncharted waters. 2, worship during this time. Don't just watch a video. Actively worship as you are quarantined. Worship together. If you are quarantined alone, worship together. If you're quarantined with your family, worship using all of the elements that the first church used, using all of the elements that we still use 2,000 years ago today in the modern church, and involve all those different things. So don't feel guilty. You're doing the right thing. This is only for a time. It's not forming habits. I hope it's not going to form habits. And worship during this time. Don't let this time go where you're not worshiping God. And number 3, even though we're not meeting together physically, you can still practice fulfill the practice of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Even though we're not meeting together, you can still encourage the people in your church. You can still encourage your brothers and sisters, and we want to connect. We want to connect all those fibers across the board. Church, with God's strength, together we can do this. God's people, we are strong. We are resilient people. We are creative. We are dedicated. We are men and women of faith. Listen, together in Christ, we can do this. We can do this. With God's Holy Spirit living inside of us, the Spirit of unity, the singular Spirit of God that lives inside of you and me and everyone else as we're quarantined, we are pulled together by one Spirit, God's Holy Spirit living inside of us, empowering us to do what He would have us to do. And, you know, we are adjusting for a small time. And when that time is over, we are going to gather back together physically. Now, the danger is that when things do get back to normal, that it might be tough to get back into the groove again of meeting together regularly. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully, here's what's happening. Hopefully, weathering this storm will increase our desire to meet together on a Sunday morning when we're able to meet safely. Hopefully, when we have a Sunday when we can meet together, it's going to be like just packed house because we missed it so much. Hopefully, this will cause all of us to realize what a huge blessing and a huge privilege it is to be able to meet together and have the freedom to meet together and to be together physically every week and to share in these elements of worship together and to have the benefit of being together and supporting each other and encouraging each other and being accountable to each other. And hopefully, this will be a time when those who don't have what we have will see the strength in the church, will see the hope of the church, will see the peace that is found in God's people, and they'll want that too. And they'll want to come with you to your church, whatever church is your church. So don't feel guilty. We're doing the right thing. We're loving our neighbor. We're submitting to our government authorities. Don't miss the opportunity to participate in the different elements of worship as you're at home. And every Sunday, as we're going to do this as a congregation together, we're going to worship God. And don't abandon your church family. Stay connected. Encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Pray with me. Father, we are so very thankful for the scriptures you've given to us. Father, that you have given us all of these different elements to worship you with, that you've given us the ability, these modern tools and technology to be able to encourage each other, to be able to weather this storm together, to be respectful of our government and to love our neighbor by social distancing and by staying at home. But that we can still worship you and honor you, even though we're not physically together as a church. And we can still encourage each other, even though we're at home and we're quarantined. Father, bless our efforts to continue to be the church during this time. Father, we ask that you be with church leaders. We ask that you be with the government leadership, that you give them wisdom. We ask for a cure. We ask that you would kill this virus and that you would keep people safe from it. Father, we ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.